There's always opportunities like that as well. If you are interested in some sort of mission thing, we'd love to chat with you a bit about opportunities within our partners, within the Alliance as well, because there's always some things going on. And so, well, good morning. I've been gone for a couple weekends in a row, and it is just good to be back. Good that the Leafs are winning. Good that the Oilers are winning. It's just a good day, all right? The sun is shining. It's warming up. It feels like anything is possible in these days right now. So we've been talking about this idea of risking spirit-filled growth together, and this idea of taking one step. And about a week and a half ago, or maybe a week ago or so, a little friend was over playing with Scarlett. And Scarlett, I'm telling a story about you, just so you know. And they were playing, and so I go in to check on them and to see what's up. And in the girl's bedroom are bunk beds. And the bunk beds, you know, they're bunk beds. And then it's over here, and then there's a window here, and there's a little table here. And I walk in, and Scarlett is scaling the wall, essentially. She is on the windowsill, and I was like, Scarlett, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just climbing up to the bunk bed. Like, no fear in her eyes at all. She is just scaling the bunk bed. And as she does that, I was like, okay, well, let me come over here and don't do this again, first of all. But okay, go try it. Let's see if you can do it. I said, oh, no, I'm curious. Can you actually do this? And so she goes and she puts her foot across because she has to turn her body onto the bunk bed rail, and she starts sliding and sliding and sliding because she's wearing socks. Here's the thing, don't wear socks if you're going to climb and scale your bed. And so we take our socks off. I was like, let's just take those off. Let's see if you can do this. And because my goal was that she would not be able to do it, too afraid, and I would just lift her down and we'd be good. She'd never do it again, right? Learning by experience. Lo and behold, her strong little legs grabbed a hold of that rail, and then she is like in a squat position. Her leg was quivering. Like, here we go. I'm going to be able to, you know, take her down. And she just, I said, lift your legs. And she lifts her legs and launches herself over her rail onto the top bunk. And I look at her. She looks at me. And I said, well, are you going to do it again? She's like, yeah. So, we'll have to keep an eye on you, I guess, Scarlett, scaling the windows there. But fear can be one of the greatest obstacles. Fear can be one of the greatest obstacles to faith. It really can. But it can also do the opposite. Holy fear can build our faith as well. It can build our faith as well. We're going through Hebrews 11 a little bit, and I want to look into what this looks like here for us today. So let me pray over us one more time as we focus in on the word here today. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word today? And what it is that you would have us hear today. So God, would you guide us in Hebrews 11 and through Genesis today, that we would know you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to open my sermon today, so I'm just getting that open as well here. But there's some obstacles then to taking that one step of faith. And that is fear. So let's look today at our passage in Hebrews 11. I'm going to read, first of all, let me do this. In the midst of learning about fear, our world has many different opinions and ideas, and it's one of the most talked about topics on fear. So I just put together a few quotes from our world today. Here are some thoughts on fear. I don't endorse maybe all these. Maybe I do a little bit and not all. But the one is this. Franklin Roosevelt, the only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself. Maybe you've heard that before, right? That's a really common one. Maybe you didn't even know it was Roosevelt. I'm not sure I always did, but anyway. Fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. Winston Churchill. Fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. Think about it. Here's another one. Know this guy? Never say never, because limits like fears are often just an illusion. Fears are often just an illusion. Interesting. Here's a good one. Oprah Winfrey. Maybe you've heard of her. Whatever you fear most has no power. It is your fear that has the power. And I'm going to agree and disagree with Oprah Winfrey today. Don't tell her that. But and one more from James Dyson. Do you have a Dyson in your home? This is him. Fear is always a good motivator. Fear, and this one just intrigued me. Fear is always a good motivator. Versus what Oprah said, right? Whatever you fear most has no power. It is your fear that has the power. Interesting. Fear is always a good motivator. Well, I want to look at some of these today. Not necessarily going to look at them too much. You can reflect on them. But I do want to look at how fear could be a good motivator. I think that's what we see in our passage here today that I'm about to read to you. How fear can be a good motivator and not the enemy. Fear doesn't have to be the enemy. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. We're in Hebrews 11 right now, and we're digging in here. So let me read some verses that were already here that you've already heard in the previous weeks. It says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith seems really important here. Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Our verse for the day. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear or reverent fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Today, we're looking at the person of Noah and his one step that he took, and it became righteousness in some way. This one step he took. Maybe you know the story of Noah, maybe not. So let's get into a little bit of who Noah is. Maybe you went to Sunday school. Maybe you went in this very congregation. Maybe your teachers are sitting behind you or around you or somewhere. But let's talk about Noah a little bit here today. So Genesis chapter 6, if you want, you can turn there. I'm going to read a little bit from there. 6 and 7 is this thing called the flood that happens, the flood that is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 5 for us here today. And I'll read some verses and recapture some in story here a little bit. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was, listen to this language, sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's a pretty intense little moment here, right? Creation had been happening. Adam and Eve and their children have happened, and we get all the way to Noah, and God is like, this is not going well. This is not going well, and I'm going to start over. Very intriguing. The world was corrupt, and God was grieved and pained in his heart. Grieved and pained in his heart. And then this fun verse at the end of that section, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then we have the account of Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So God said to Noah, so God was speaking to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all this, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you're to make it. And then he describes it for them. In verse 17, it goes on. It says, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come onto the ark, and you and your sons, your wife, your sons' wives, and you, and every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort of the ark and keep them alive with you. Okay, the Sunday school lessons are coming to mind, right, Colin? They're flooding in right now. They shall be male and female, the birds according to their kinds, and the animals according to their kinds, and every creeping thing of the ground according to the kind, two of every sort, and it keeps going. Also take every sort of food that is eaten, stored up, and you can eat it. And listen to verse 22. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Intriguing. We get a little more detail that is to go in the ark. We learn actually it's like seven pairs of things, of the clean animals and then two of the other kinds. Who knows how many animals are in this thing right now, but there's quite a few. And then it goes on again and in verse 5 of chapter 7. It says, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. It's repeated. The author wanted us to know in this moment that Noah did exactly what God had commanded. Noah had a moment. He had a moment with the Lord, and he did it. But it wasn't just a moment, and I wanted to make that clear today. Just like with Enoch, that Pastor Tim preached on, there's a phrase here that says, Noah walked with God. Before Noah's moment ever came, Noah walked with God. So that when that moment came, he could actually take that one step. Right? We hear of these people of the faith and we think, wow, in that moment, that would have been intense for him to accept and to do, to accept the demolition of the world or any person of faith in the Old Testament. But often there's a qualifier like this, like Noah walked with God. This beautiful statement in the midst of this passage. These faith moments are not just moments. They are prepared moments. And the moment came in verse 22 of chapter 6, verse 5 of chapter 7. He took one step. He built an ark and he saved a remnant of creation. But my question for us today and where we're going is, what did it take? What did it take for Noah to make that leap? And this is where we learn in Hebrews 7 this phrase of godly fear. Godly fear. Because what does it take us? We have many motivators in life that motivate us. Could be family, could be finances, right? It could be loves and passions. It could be fear-based things. It could be many things, but what is it? And Noah had fear. I'm just going to go back a little bit and show you this verse again. By faith, Noah, after he was warned, so he was warned about what was not yet seen. We saw that warning. God spoke to Noah. And motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. Fear. Fear. I want to wonder with us today. I want to wonder about what is fear? And what is the fear of God? Is it simply one thing? And the question becomes, you know, am I supposed to be afraid of God? Should I be afraid of who he is or not be afraid of him? Many pastors or scholars will immediately like to jump into this idea that we just need reverence for God. That's the type of fear. We revere him and respect him like we would maybe an older family member or a mentor in our lives. And there's some of that going on here. But I think there's a little bit more than that. Fear. To be afraid or not be afraid. There's a word here, the word for fear in this place. There's actually two in the New Testament I want to talk about. One is just this one, eulabase, which is the root of this word. This word's only used once in the New Testament completely. But it's the root of eulabase. And in that word, it usually does mean reverence and obedience in fear. Versus another word called phobos, which is fear, right? Phobos, fear. That's fear. That's when you're afraid normally. The context here makes a huge difference. Context in our passage today makes a huge difference and in Hebrews in general. So I want to read for you a couple different spots in the Hebrews where this word is generally used, a little bit different form. But in chapter 12, one chapter later in Hebrews, the author is talking about God shaking up things in the world. And that some things are going to fall off and the things eternal are going to stay. A little futuristic, right? Maybe it's fearful that you're afraid of that moment. And then it says this in verse 28 of chapter 12. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We sang that today. Thanks, Alex. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. That's the same word. For our God, though, is a consuming fire. And I'll say that again, okay? So I don't have it on the screen. Our God is a consuming fire. He's going to shake things up, burn some things away in the future. All right? I don't know what that looks like fully right now, and I don't want to get into that, but it sounds a little bit, it could be fearful. I could be afraid of that moment. So we go back. Chapter 11. We're talking about Noah. It says God warned Noah what was going to happen. I love this because they walk together, right? They walk together. And I imagine, can you imagine with me that Noah was consistently having a coffee morning with God, and they were chilling, hanging out. They were talking about all kinds of things, the creatures, the things that are going on. And just one day God just says to Noah, like, Noah, I'm done. This is it. I'm going to start over. He's like, well, what do you mean start over? Like, yeah, I'm going to destroy the earth. And Noah just like spits out his coffee, right? In that moment. What do you mean? Like, don't worry about you, Noah. You're fine. I like you. We're good. We have coffee every day. I like you. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm just going to destroy the earth. And so how should I do it, Noah? Should I like use some fire or, like, what was the conversation like? I was like, no, I'll use fire later. That'll be fair. That's down the road. I'll be the consuming fire later. For now, I'll just use some water, right? And Noah, jaw dropped. I don't know. What did he look like? I'd be a ghost at that point. I'd get this kind of intel from the maker. This is very intriguing. Because Noah, who walked with God, with that type of an intimate relationship, got this great warning from a very holy and other God, the Almighty. So what did he do in that relationship? Well, he believed him. It's like, I know you can do this, and I know you will do this. Okay, I'll build an ark. Out of fear, knowing that God was going to do this, actually pretty dreadful work, isn't it? This isn't a fun actual story. We tell the kids it in hopeful chorus even. It's actually a pretty sad day in the earth. God was grieved and pained in his heart that he even had to do this. Even in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says this phrase, how dreadful it is to fall into the hands of the living God. For those who choose to curse him or walk away from him. This could be afraid. There's a little bit of extra fear, not simply reverence, but actually a little bit of a fear would make you afraid here. I think it's both. I don't think it has to be either or in this case. Our problem is simply this, though. We often put God as a gentle giant, right? The Old Testament God is gone, right? The New Testament is here. But no, you see, Hebrews actually tells us too that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one thing that changes is his plan progresses. His plan progresses. He did promise after the flood he would never flood the earth like that again. Gave us the promise of a rainbow, so we look at that and we know that, right? That's the promise there. We put God in a box as a gentle giant, forgetting that he is wholly other and powerful. And he has a plan that is at work. We think that, oh no, I can't like fear, be afraid of him in that way. That's Old Testament stuff. But there is an aspect of him where he's wild. He's most powerful and holy other. Yet he's gentle enough to walk with Noah. I love this tension. Love this tension in Scripture. This holy other God, yet he walked with Noah, with Enoch, with so many people, and he even promises to walk with us. That's pretty cool. That's amazing. Noah then had a healthy fear. He knew the reality of who God was, who Yahweh God was. He walked with God. He knew his power. He heard the warning. He listened and obeyed. He believed what he heard. So he took his one step. Because the reality is this, and I see this in scriptures, healthy fear produces faith to cause us to take one step. Healthy fear can be a good motivator to help us take that one step. There is unhealthy fear, though, as well. I don't want to deny this. There is unhealthy fear. And in two ways I see it in my life, and maybe you've experienced this as well. One is that it cripples me, right? When fear cripples me, I know it's unhealthy. And the second way is irrational behaviors. Fear makes us do some weird stuff, right? We act out in ways that we probably normally wouldn't in our normal selves, but in our fearful selves, we act in irrational ways. It cripples us. I'm not sure if you know the story of Elijah. Some of you do. Elijah, in his fear, was crippled. He thought he was alone, the only one for God, and he thought everyone was going to kill him, and so he ran away. And it crippled his behavior as the mouthpiece of God. God had to force a visit with him to reassure him that he was not alone. Elijah was crippled in fear. Another example, then, of the irrational fear would be Saul, King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. He was chosen by God because Israel wanted a king, and so he said, here's this guy. In the end, he felt threatened. Felt threatened by David, you know, King David. That guy, the most famous king in all Israel, right? He felt threatened to the point where he threw a spear across the room irrationally to try to kill him and chased him across the countryside because he thought, oh no, this guy's going to be king and not me. And he ignored God and acted out irrationally. Unhealthy fear is what seizes our days and takes over our lives. And soon we don't act in our normal selves at all. Unhealthy fear is actually misplaced fear. This is where I want to go today. Unhealthy fear is misplaced fear. When we look at the one who is the greatest of all, with the most power, the Almighty, there is one in whom we fear with the greatest reverence and awe, and he is Yahweh. He is God Almighty. He is the God of angel armies, and he is the God of all creations. And of course, he is the one in whom we need to place our fear of reverence and awe of his mightiness and of his intimacy that he can bring to us and all of it to know that that is where my fear needs to lie. If he is number one on my fear list, all the other fears have to take their place. Have to take their place. So Noah took a step. And healthy fear in God created action, and it does in our lives as well. I think we can take that away from Noah here. That healthy fear and the fear of God causes action. Noah took a step to save his family, it said. He feared God and feared for his family, so he built the ark. He took a step knowing who gave the warning and who cared for him the most. And I think the question for us today is, will we take that one step? Do we desire to have growth in our lives? Do we walk with him to know him? Do we believe what he says? Do we have a holy fear of the Lord? Early in my pastoral days, I would take groups of youth on missions things, much like Janaeus. And so I went to Winnipeg, was my destination, not Ottawa, but Winnipeg. And so I took 2 years in a row, took a group of youth, different set of youth each time, and went there, and we would do some evangelism on the streets as well, but we'd do it in different ways, like sharing our testimonies. And one of the ways we did it was we'd be praying over people, and we learned that this is a really effective tool. Like, you should try it sometime. If you feel like God is leading you to pray for somebody, then go and ask them, hey, can I pray for you? And we found great success that people would say, oh, yeah, sure. Or they would just say, no, no, thanks. I'm not into that. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And that's fine. But it's still scary, right? Even though I was teaching on this topic, I go out to the Forks, if you know Winnipeg. Where's my Winnipeggers? There's some peggers in here. I know there is. Yeah, there they are. Yeah, yeah. When you go to the Forks, and there's lots of tourists, there's lots of locals, there's all kinds of people there. And the Lord was placing this one woman on my heart in particular, and I'm nervously, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it's just me, right? What is she going to think? It's fear, right? That's a fear. But I just taught on this stuff, so I was like, I need to do this, right? So my fear of the Lord hopefully kicked in this moment, and it did, and I went and asked her, and you could see instantly the tears go down her face. Wow, okay. The Lord needed me here in this moment. I'm still connecting with one guy who was fishing in the water, which is hilarious. I'm not sure if you've ever fished there, Stephen, but you fish in the water and he would catch these fish. But he was sitting in his seat and his feet were in the water, and I come and he was on my heart, so I talked with him a little bit and connected with him and started following him on Instagram, and we're connected on social media to this day. And this is like 2012 or something. And the Lord had that connection. As long as I had to get over that fear and place God as the fear of my life. That I respected him and revered him and know he has the power more than anybody else. Now, there's many other failure stories in my life. I'm not always good at this. It's probably one of the evangelism part especially is one of the weak areas. But it could be fear in any other case. Any fear that cripples us or causes irrational behavior. I wonder if that's something we need to put under our Savior and fear him most. Well, in our passage, our verse 7 in chapter 11 today, I don't think I have it up here anymore, but before we get to our prayer response is this. Noah, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world, this is an interesting statement, and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness that comes by faith. And I wonder for us today, that if, do we desire that longing to be fulfilled in our lives? To have a life that is fulfilling, that is full, that is whole. You want your life to be together, or maybe some of you want your life to be aligned with God and not corrupt or whatever. And we use that word righteous here, righteousness, that fits that account. And Noah, it was counted to him as righteousness when he took that one step of faith. One step of faith. Now, in the meantime, apparently it condemns the world here. Not that Noah had that power to do that, but he was aligning himself up with God. That's what it's talking about. But in the end, it's simply this. He took that one step of listening to God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was the first one, an heir of all of this, that we now get to take a hold of. To say, okay, I'm going to believe in you today, God. Maybe it's just today. That's what I love about the one step thing. Like, it's like, it's just one moment in time. It's just today on this Sunday, right before May hits, right? This Sunday, I just need faith for today, for one step with God. One step today. That's what it takes. Maybe it's simply a step of saying, today I believe in you, God. I believe in you today. Take one step in that fear that's conquering your life today and surrender it to God. Maybe that's your step here this morning. To surrender this fear to him. And I wonder if we can do that together in a little bit of a prayer response. To take our fears and hand them over to him and to realign them with God. Let them be subject to him. Let them be surrendered to him today. And then our actions begin to change along with that. So can we do this today? Here's a bit of a prayer response that I have for us. Simply these three steps. To ask Jesus to show you a fear. Maybe it's already on your heart and your mind. Your heart began to race when I talked about those fears that cripple us, that cause irrational behavior. And then we need to release it. I say, God, take this fear from me. I can't take it anymore. But we never release without receiving in prayer. That's really important. We release, and then we need to accept. Accept God as the Lord of our lives. The most revered and the most feared. Would you join me in this prayer? I'm going to give you space for this here this morning. Well, God, we come and we take a deep breath. God, we look to you in these moments. We know you're here in our midst and that you desire to walk with us and be with us in this moment. So we invite you into this space, even so. Jesus, I ask today, and we ask collectively, what is the fear? What is a fear that is holding me back, that is misplaced, that has been controlling my life? God, what is that today? So friends today, church, why don't you go ahead and ask him that yourself? Ask him to reveal that to you in these moments. I'll give you a second. Nothing's coming to mind, it's okay. Some of you, it came to mind very quickly. And if that's you today, let's take a moment to release these to the Lord, these fears, to the one who is feared above all. Some of you need to take your knuckles, untension them, and open them up before the Lord, and hold them up and say, Lord, would you take this fear from me? You can go ahead and just tell him that today if you're ready. God, would you take this fear from me today? Like, I don't want it. God, it's been controlling me. Just confess that out. Maybe it's crippled you that you have not been able to act in your life. You've not been able to grow in your faith. You've not been able to move forward in that relationship. You've not been able to move forward in life. You feel like it's been holding you back today. God, I release this fear. God, it's causing me to act out in weird ways that I never thought I would behave towards my family, towards my friends, towards my spouse, towards my children, towards my parents. Because God, I'm just afraid of this. I release that fear today, Jesus, to you. Just go ahead and release those fears today. Some of you will even feel lighter in this moment. You'll feel a weight off your shoulders as you release this fear to him. But God, we don't stop there. We don't just want to empty ourselves of something today, but we want to line ourselves up with you. So God, we invite you in again today. Maybe some of us for the first time in our lives, that we invite you in and say, Jesus, come be Lord of my life. Come be the top dog in my life. Come be the top fear of my life because you desire to walk with me. You care for me, but yet you're wholly other. God, I accept you in my life today. God, maybe I accept you in my life for the 100th time, the 1,000,000th time to come take control of these fears, but I accept you in today. Most holy one. Revered above all. So church, friends, why don't you do that today? Just invite him in. Speak him in. He is waiting to be invited in. So God, we invite you into our souls.